It's that time again.
Time to hear a special guest talk with Indianapolis Kidcasters.
Welcome to the Kids Concern Show on Radio Disney 98.3 FM.
Hey, I'm Melissa, and I'm a Kidcaster for Radio Disney.
Hey, I'm Kendra. I'm also a Kidcaster for Radio Disney.
And I'm Cindy Hart. I'm the honorary survivor for the Coleman Race for the Cure, and I'm very happy to be here. And I've brought my daughter with me.
Madison Hart.
From Fishback Creek Elementary.
So could you give us, like, a brief summary of what breast cancer really is?
Well, basically, cancer is when you have a cell in your body that's just kind of gone crazy. And it changes from all the other cells in your body, and it starts growing really fast, kind of out of control. And breast cancer is this type of cell in your breast, located in a breast generally. And basically, anybody, men or women, can get it, but women tend to get it more than men, a lot more than men.
What are some of the things that can cause breast cancer?
Well, they're not quite certain of the exact cause of breast cancer, but they know that there are several risk factors that are involved with getting cancer, breast cancer, and that would be smoking, drinking alcohol, but mostly it's a family inheritance. So if you have a mother or a sister or an aunt or grandmother who's had breast cancer, it increases your possibility of having it in your lifetime. And hormones, they have found, are a big cause of breast cancer as well. And so if you're female, you tend to have the hormones that are going to cause breast cancer.
So our aunt had breast cancer and she survived, but does that mean we have a chance to get it?
Well, unfortunately, that means you do have a chance of getting it. And if you try to live a lifestyle where you don't smoke, you don't drink alcohol, you eat a low-fat diet, and you exercise regularly, that should decrease your chances of getting cancer.
And what are some of the symptoms of breast cancer?
Well, the primary symptom of breast cancer is a lump. And a lump or a tumor is a collection of cells. It's these gone out of control cancer cells that start growing, and they kind of create this little colony or a little ball underneath the skin. And finding a lump is a symptom. You might have a tenderness in that area as well. And the best way for women to find out that they've got cancer is to do a self-breast exam and to become familiar with what's right, what feels right, and what's not right. And then they also have some tests for breast cancer. It's called a mammogram. And it's an X-ray where they can actually look inside the breast tissue to see if anything's wrong that should not be there.
When did you find out, or when were you diagnosed with cancer?
Well, I actually found two lumps in my breast one afternoon in April of 2004 when I came home from work and sat down on the couch and I had an itch. And I reached over and I touched where it itched, and I thought, oh, well, that's not right. It felt like there was a little pea underneath the skin, and I actually had two lumps. One felt like a little pea. The other one felt like a smashed bug. And so that wasn't quite right. And I thought, well, maybe that's something hormonal. So I waited a month. And then I had a mammogram, and I had an ultrasound, and then I had something called a biopsy that determined that I actually had breast cancer. And that was May 19th, 2004.
So this question could go for both of you. You can answer at different times. What were some of the first thoughts you had when you found out you had breast cancer, and what were some of the thoughts you had when you found out your mom had breast cancer?
Well, I'll start, since I knew before she did. First of all, I was shocked, because I do live a healthy lifestyle. I'm a competitive cyclist, bike racer, and a speed skater, and I don't drink alcohol, and I don't smoke cigarettes.
So it's still possible, even if you do live a healthy life?
That's correct. Even if you do live a healthy life, and I had no family, I have no relatives that had breast cancer.
So it's possible for anybody?
That's correct. It's possible for anybody. The way I look at it is, if you have breasts and you have hormones, you have a risk factor for getting cancer. So for me, my first reaction was, this can't happen to me. I've lived a clean lifestyle. This can't happen. But it did. Madison, what did you think?
Well, my mom first started by telling me, she asked me about one of my friends who I know is a cancer survivor now, and she asked me about her. She asked me several questions, and then she told me that that she had cancer, and it was kind of a shock that she could have it.
So I hear that they say that you are a co-survivor. So how were you supportive in this situation?
Well, I helped my mom pick out hats, and I was there when she needed something, and I just helped. Oh, and I picked hair off of her shirts and sweaters.
When my hair was falling out, she was there to tell me if my hair was falling out because of the chemotherapy. That's one of the treatments for cancer. Is in my case, chemotherapy, drugs that help kill the fast-growing cells. And hair is a fast-growing cell. So so when my hair fell out because of the chemotherapy, she was there to help me pick the hair up.
Do you know anyone else who's had breast cancer, and did they survive?
Once you've had breast cancer, you become a survivor. And I have met many other survivors since coming into this world of survivorship. And with the new drugs and that research helps create, and the Race for the Cure helps pay for a lot of this research, the survivorship has increased. That means that more and more people are living and fewer people are dying because of this breast cancer disease.
I understand that you were in an issue of Women's Magazine. Can you tell us about some of your accomplishments that are in that issue?
Oh, that was a great honor. I was on the March front cover of the Indianapolis Women's Magazine. And after my last dose of chemotherapy, I competed in the national championships, and I won the overall cycling championships. I also won a silver medal and two bronze medals in the speed skating long track championships and broke two national records. And those were a couple of the things that I was recognized for, as well as being the honorary cancer survivor, breast cancer survivor for the Komen Race for the Cure.
Speaking of Race for the Cure, what is the Race for the Cure and when did it start?
Well, the Race for the Cure originally started in Dallas, Texas, when a woman named Susan G. Komen got cancer, and she died from it. And her sister, Nancy, decided that she did not want this to happen without a purpose. She did not want her sister to die for no reason. So she started trying to raise funds through the Race for the Cure. She created the Race for the Cure in Dallas so that they could get some money together to make research possible. And so that they could give money to scientists so that they could find drugs that would help kill the cancer cells better and save lives. The Race for the Cure has been in Indianapolis. This is the 15th year here. And so I'm very honored to be a part of it. And this year we're expecting how many people?
40,000.
40,000 people.
So is the race, is it a walkathon or is it an actual race?
Well, they have several different categories that you can enter in. They have a 5-kilometer race, which is a running race, and they go off first. And then they actually have people who walk, and they have a 1-mile family fun walk, and let's see, what other... So it's a race, and they let people sleep in for the cure. So if people don't want to race and they don't want to get up early on a Saturday morning and walk, they can actually participate by sleeping. So there's no excuses.
So can anyone do the race?
That's correct. Anyone can do the race, or they can sleep in, or there is another thing called Paint the Town Pink. A lot of the businesses can actually register and support the Race for the Cure by decorating their business in pink. and there will be judges for that as well. So you can call. There's a phone number that you can call to register your company, or you can go to comanindy.org to register as a participant in the Sleep for the Cure or the Race for the Cure.
So tell us about the details of the Race for the Cure event, like the time and the date and the place.
Well, it's going to be held on the IUPUI campus on Saturday, April 22nd. And registration packet pickup is from 7 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. And then there's going to be a pink parade where all of these survivors, and last year I was amazed there were 2,000 breast cancer survivors there. And you can recognize a breast cancer survivor because they will be dressed, they will have a pink T-shirt and probably a feather boa, so this big neck muffler of pink feathers. And so if you see somebody wearing one of these feathers like Big Bird, only they're pink, that's a survivor.
Okay.
And so there'll be 2,000 of them. And so there'll be a pink parade through these pink arches of balloons. And then the official race will begin at 9 o'clock. So the competitive race walk will be at 9 o'clock, and then right behind them, 10 minutes after, is the run and the walk.
How can kids and their parents register to be in the race?
Okay. If you go to Komen, which is K-O-M-E-N-I-N-D-Y .org, you can register for the race.
What do you enjoy most about it, and why is it important to you?
What I enjoy most about it was probably seeing all the people there. I don't think people realize how touching it is as a cancer survivor to see all those people there celebrating the fact that you live, that you lived, that you beat cancer, or you're in the process of beating cancer. And that all these people joined together. Last year there were 36,000 people who were participating. And to see them, it's like an army of people all there to help you fight cancer. So to me, that meant an awful lot, just to see the people come out and the people celebrating in pink. What did you think about seeing all the people, Madison?
It was pretty amazing how many people were there. There were at least 36,000 people, and there was this point in the race where you were on this hill and you could see all of the people, and it was mostly all pink.
So. I noticed that you guys mentioned pink a lot. Like, it's like whenever you see like a pink ribbon, you know it's for breast cancer. Why, and Madison has a lot of pink on today, so why is pink like the color for that kind of cancer?
Well, the majority of the people who contract or get breast cancer are women. Although there are a few men who get it, but the vast majority of the people who come down with breast cancer are women. And in the process of the treatment of breast cancer, you feel as a patient that they take everything feminine away from you. Because the medicine that they give you makes your hair fall out. And a lot of times you have to have surgery where they remove your breasts. I personally had my fingernails fall out as well. So I lost my hair, I lost my breasts, I lost my fingernails. And you feel really ugly when you're going through this. And I think whoever came up with pink was just brilliant, because it's a feminine color. And it's a way of celebrating the fact that you still feel pretty, that you still want to feel pretty.
So wait, about the fingernails, your fingernails just like fall out? And there's nothing there?
That's correct. After a period of time of the chemotherapy, because the chemotherapy is trying to fight the cancer cells. And because the cancer cells grow fast, In order for the medicine to work, the medicine has to kill like all the cells that grow fast. And so your hair cells grow fast, your fingernail cells are fast growing. The lining of your mouth and the lining of your stomach also are cells that grow and reproduce themselves quickly. So they are going to be cells that are going to be attacked along with the cancer cells. And so after a while, my fingernails, my fingers got really sore, and the fingernails just fell off.
So there was nothing there? Was
nothing there.
Oh, my God.
All the way down to the quick.
Are there any other treatments besides the chemotherapy?
Yes, there are. Depending upon what type of cancer is identified and in what state the cancer is found. So if it's found early, it's possible that a woman could have something called a lumpectomy, which is where they just go in and they cut out the tumor and nothing else. So it doesn't affect the breast itself, but it just cuts out the lump. There's another type of therapy, treatment, that they use. It's called radiation. And radiation is where they focus an X-ray right on where they think the tumor cells are. And they focus it like a magnifying glass right there, so you get a strong ray of the X-rays right there, and so it kills the fast-growing cells just in that one spot.
So how did you get rid of your cancer? Did it go away, or did you have to have surgery, or did the chemotherapy help at all?
Well, I was treated at IU Cancer Center here in Indianapolis, and my doctors felt that I should do chemotherapy first. We did something called tumor reduction, where I took the medicine, and the medicine, actually, you could feel the tumors getting smaller and smaller. You could feel them shrinking. It was cool. So you could feel the tumors shrinking, so we knew that the medicine was working. But we didn't know if we got it all with the medicine. So then they did what's called a mastectomy, where they take out all of the breast tissue underneath the skin so that they make sure that they get all of the cells. And now I'm on a medicine. I will be on this medicine for the next 5 years to make sure that the breast cancer cells, if there are any left, don't rest somewhere else in my body, like the bones. And so it makes sure that they don't happen again.
Is it true that even if it goes away, that it can come back?
It's possible. That's called a reoccurrence. And a recurrence basically means that either the conditions were right or you had maybe a cancer cell or two that escaped. They lived through the chemotherapy or they lived through the surgery, and the cells went someplace else. And for breast cancer patients, it seems the lungs and the bones are some of the places that the cells might go. So it might come back as breast cancer cells in the bone.
I read somewhere that breast cancer, it's common in women or sometimes men, but is it possible that it could happen to, just even younger girls?
Well, there are some rare cases where it happens to girls in maybe their later 20s. That might happen in their 20s. But before that time, it's very unlikely that it would happen, because it's usually from hormones or from a genetic trait, genetic meaning carried down in the genes, not your blue genes, but the genes in your cells, from family member to family member.
But isn't that kind of ironic, though, that it doesn't happen to teenage girls, but isn't that when the hormones show up the most when you become a teenager, maybe teenage hormones?
That's
so
correct.
Why wouldn't it happen then?
I think because the cells are being adapted to the body. You're at that point when you're a teenage girl, you're getting all these hormones thrown at you to help develop things. And so everything's growing from the beginning there. It usually happens at a much greater rate in the older women. And what happens is the cells don't die when they should be dying. And so that's what kind of creates the tumor, is because suddenly, sometime, they might get this sudden surge of hormones for one reason or another, and instead of the cells dying off, they just keep growing. So that's my best explanation. I'm not an expert on that part.
So earlier I heard you say that the money that in the race goes towards, scientists so they can come up with a medicine. What about, I see these wristbands, the breast cancer wristbands. Does that also help the doctors?
I've got one. yes, the pink wristbands. If you go to breastcancer.org, And I think Target and several other people sell the wristbands, and they donate the money toward breast cancer research. And the research is to go to the scientists to find the cure. Now, Komen, they are the largest funder. They give the most money to the most scientists of any other organization to try to fight breast cancer. That's in the country. They also give a lot of money here locally to help survivors. A lot of coping. So they try to help the survivors get over all the hard parts of being a survivor, because it is kind of emotionally draining, and it's scary. It's scary to get cancer.
So was Lance Armstrong an inspiration to you, because he had cancer, like, who knows how many times and wherever places, but he still won, like, a lot of races many times, and he got over his cancer even though it kept coming back. So does he inspire you at all?
Oh, definitely. He was actually racing in the Tour de France at the time I was getting my chemotherapy. So when my hair was falling out, he was racing up those mountains. And when I saw him winning the tour, I was ready to flip cartwheels in my living room, I think, because I felt like, you know, that his racing, every race he won, I was winning. And that's one of the things I want to do in my future racing as well, is to help promote that strength and that unity, that every race I win, all the other cancer patients win with me.
So the people who maybe don't know about Lance Armstrong, can you explain to them what he's accomplished, even though he's had, like, so many different types of cancer, and what he's done to overcome that?
Okay. Well, Lance Armstrong was a cyclist. He was a very strong cyclist, and he was diagnosed with testicular cancer. And his cancer spread to his lungs and to his brain as well. And he had surgery and chemotherapy to have those cells removed. And it appears that he's doing very well. And it's amazing. After his near-death experience with cancer, he's been able to come back and win not one, not twice, but seven times. Win one of the most grueling physical races in the world, and that's the Tour de France. And we had the opportunity to get to watch him this past summer win his seventh and final tour.
So why is it important for kids to know about breast cancer?
It's important for kids to know about breast cancer because it happens to so many people. It's going to be hard for you to live throughout your life and not be impacted, not have something like this affect you. It now happens to one out of every eight women will be diagnosed with cancer.
One person every 3 minutes.
That's right. One person every 3 minutes will be diagnosed with breast cancer. And it's going to be hard for you to go throughout your life. If you know a woman, unless you become a hermit and live in a cave, you're going to know about it. If it doesn't happen to you, it's going to happen to somebody you know. And so if we can come together and stop this now and find a cure or find a treatment or find a prevention, it's just going to keep going.
Yeah, it happened to our aunt, and it was a very scary time for our family. We were pretty worried.
And she's okay now?
She's okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I know a lot of people want to help and stuff, and I went to the website and I saw it said, click here for information about volunteering for the race. Can people volunteer in the race?
Oh, definitely. I mean, there are many different ways that you can volunteer. And there's there's the packet pickup and helping with water and helping support. And just coming out is just a wonderful way to volunteer your time and support the people. So I don't know what the exact volunteer positions are, but if you click on that website, I'm sure they'll sign you up.
What can moms who are listening today do to prevent breast cancer?
I don't know that there's any one thing that you can do to stop it. As I said, I was one of the healthiest people I knew, and I still got it. but what they can do to make their fight, if they should contract and get breast cancer, the best thing they can do is catch it quick and catch it early, because mine was a very fast and aggressive cancer that grew very quickly. And if I hadn't caught it when I did, my life would be even different than it is now. So with everybody should become very aware of their bodies. You should know what feels right, and if something doesn't feel right, you need to tell somebody about it. Don't hold it a secret. You cannot make the cancer go away by pretending it doesn't exist. So self-breast exams, at least once a month, you need to figure out, you know, find out what feels right, find out what feels wrong. Another thing that moms can do, if they're 35 to 40 years or older, they need to go and have an annual mammogram. And that's that x-ray I told you about where you can look at the breast tissue. And find out your family history. Who in your family has had any type of cancer? Also, live a healthy lifestyle. Stop smoking if you smoke. Don't drink. Eat a low-fat diet and exercise. I exercised through my cancer treatment, and my surgeon came up to me afterwards and thanked me for giving him good material to work with.
Yeah, and exercise gives you endorphins, and they make you feel really good.
Oh, yeah. Or endorphins are a good thing.
Yeah. Like, sometimes after I exercise, like, I used to be in gymnastics, and it'd be, like, three-hour workouts, but you get so many endorphins that you're so hyper when you're done. You'd think you'd be, like, exhausted. And sometimes you were, but usually you're just really hyper because of all those endorphins. Yeah. They just make you happy.
Oh, yeah.
You're bouncing off the walls after a three-hour workout.
Yeah, wow. Same with shooting practice.
Yeah. Yeah. Shooting and gymnastics.
It's even better than chocolate sometimes.
I know, because chocolate just gives you pimples. And, yeah. So, do you think they'll ever find a cure for this disease?
It's my hope that they will. It's my hope that they will be able, in the next 10 years, to find it. And what we need to do is help support those scientists, those super smart people who can find the cure. And, you know, the only thing we can do is continue to participate in things like the Coleman Race for the Cure so that we can show that the scientists that we mean business. We mean for this to go away, and we want to empower those super smart people to help kill this disease.
Is there a certain website that people can go to learn about more information?
Well, I'm going to guide you again to the ColemanIndy.org website. But if you want to go and look specifically at breast cancer, there is a breastcancer.org website as well, which supports people who have breast cancer, but also describes the different types.
Why does the walk take place in April?
October is the official breast cancer month, but there are over 100 cities throughout the country that have the Race for the Cure, and I think what they try to do is alternate sites for different dates. And I think because April is such a beautiful month in Indianapolis, that's when they've decided to do it here in Indianapolis. October is the official breast cancer awareness.
It's pretty cold that time of year.
Yes, in October it could be cold, and plus everybody's trick-or-treating.
Yes.
But I think they try to rotate it around. Different cities get to do it in a different month.
So is breast cancer like the most common type of cancer?
Breast cancer is the number one killer for women between the ages of 40 and 49. It is becoming more and more recognized. I think because people are catching it early, the numbers are going up. There will be 210,000 people in the United States diagnosed this year with breast cancer. There will be 40,000 people, as many people who will come to the walk on April 22nd, who will die from breast cancer this year. So the way I look at it, when I look out over all the people who are coming to the Indianapolis Race for the Cure, for each one of those heads that I see in that crowd is going to represent one person who's going to die in this nation this year from this disease. Sorry to bring you down, but it's kind of a...
We'll bring you back up.
Okay, it's kind of a big point.
One question that we ask everybody that comes in here is, what is your favorite Disney character? Both of you.
Well, I'm going to have to confess It has to be Cinderella, because I was Cinderella in a play when I was in the first grade, and so I have seen Cinderella over and over and over again. So I'm hoping I could be the Cinderella from this disease as well. Mm-hmm. So I've been in the cinders of despair. I've been in the ashes of despair with the breast cancer, but now hopefully I can be the belle of the ball.
Madison, who's your favorite?
Right off the top of my head, I'd have to say Genie from Aladdin. I like Robin Williams, and he's just so funny in that movie. It's like the role was born for him. And I just don't like to be down in the dumps all the time, so he cheers me up.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us today. We're so glad that you could come here and talk to us.
Well, thank you for giving us this opportunity.
Thanks for listening to the Kids Concern Show.
Join us again next Saturday for more great discussions.
From Radio Disney 98.3 FM.